You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel, freshly back from Las Vegas at the SHOT Show. Had a great time there. Did all kinds of good things. We'll talk about that in a bit. But on the show today, we have Sheriff Darleaf of Berry County, Michigan, who has just received an award from the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association of America. He was recently named the 2016 Sheriff of the Year, which is a real big deal since there's over 3,000 sheriffs in America. We'll be talking with him in segment two and segment three. Before we get to that, let's go ahead and talk about some personal stuff. Some of you may not know, I teach writing at Cornerstone University. Just started a new class yesterday. It was fantastic. I continue to be impressed by Cornerstone students. They are polite. They're civil. They have good heads on their shoulders, and they work hard. So I'm happy to be doing that. It was on my bucket list to always teach at the university level, so I can scratch that one off. The SHOT Show. Had a great time there. I talked to Mark Walters quite a bit from Armed American Radio. I spoke with Tim Schmidt from United States Concealed Carry Association. Was able to do a little business with him, which is always fantastic, plus get caught up on personal things. And I spoke with Steve Fisher, the Director of Training at USCCA, and Kevin Michalowski, who films the videos into the fray for United States Concealed Carry Association. We will be interviewing Kevin on a future show. Got that all set up, and that should be quite interesting. The SHOT Show, thousands and thousands of new products are out there. I got to look at as many as I could in two full days time, but I couldn't see all of them, obviously. The biggest problem I have at SHOT Show is getting lost, because it's the size of about three shopping malls all lumped together on three or four different stories. It's just awesome. It's like being in a candy shop when you were a kid and you can eat as much as you want with no after effect. So I enjoyed that very, very much, and I'm looking forward to going again next year. Of course, I'll be at the NRA convention this coming spring, and I noticed that USCCA also has a convention down in Texas in April. So I will certainly try to make it there as well. All right, enough personal stuff. Let's get into the news, because a lot of things are happening right now. Donald Trump he's cut loose like a madman, but he's my kind of madman. This guy's doing so much stuff. He's working to secure the border. He's working to stem illegal immigration. He's put that freeze on federal workers, hiring new federal workers. I think that's fantastic. We have to get that budget down under control. What else has my man Donald been up to? Oh, he took the shackles off the Border Patrol and said, hey, when you catch somebody coming into our country and they're not supposed to be here, you get their butts out of there. I paraphrase that, but that's basically what it is. Every other country in the world does it, so why do we let every low life into our country? We should be able to pick and choose who comes into our country. I mean, that's a key issue in family safety and home defense, because you've got all these illegal aliens who are coming in, and by definition, they're already criminals when they cross the border, plus the fact that many of them are committing very violent crimes, not just once, but twice, three times, over and over and over again. And we just keep letting them do it, and we subsidize them and encourage them to come in. That crap has got to stop, and I am finally glad that we have a president who's willing to uphold our borders. He's also put the kibosh on letting terrorists into our country. He said that there are certain countries that are known to have terrorists, that are known to sponsor terrorism. We're not going to let them come in. Their visas... we're not going to give them visas anymore. I think that's a good idea, at least until we find out what the heck's going on and get a handle on all this jihad coming into America. That will keep our homes and our families much, much safer.
Okay, what else can we talk about here? What's in the news? Have you noticed that the far left is just totally, I mean, they're like batshit crazy these days. They're going nuts. I noticed on BearingArms.com, there's this article. Video shows unstable teacher shooting President Trump in classroom. A young woman in Dallas, Texas, is the latest citizen to creatively express her hatred for President Donald Trump. Only this woman is a high school art teacher, and her expression involved shooting a projected image of Trump with a squirt gun, screaming, "Die, die, die," during the presidential inauguration, possibly in front of her students. And that's why I homeschool. The woman posted the video on her Instagram account and has since deleted it, but not before it went viral on Twitter. Amazing. What else is going on out there? Let's go to, let's see what's on Drudge today. There's this one Hollywood wacko I've been paying attention to. I don't even know how to pronounce the guy's name. Angry Man LaBeouf or LaBeef or something like that. Live on camera. He's been arrested. Great. Shia LaBeouf, LaBeouf. Let's just call him LaBeef because he's quite a meathead. I used to like that guy. He was on, he was the guy on Transformers, the actor there, the goofy geek kind of a guy. A great movie. I love those Transformers movies. Lots of action, but I don't think I can watch him anymore. Shia LaBeouf was led away in handcuffs after a spat during an anti-Trump protest. The Hollywood actor was arrested by NYPD officers during his He Will Not Divide Us live stream, which he has been running since President Trump's inauguration. Shouldn't he be making a movie or something? I mean, get a job. The 30-year-old allegedly grabbed a fellow protester outside the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens and now faces a misdemeanor assault charge. Well, good. That was a nice picture of him being led away in handcuffs. I mean, I watched this on YouTube, and he gets right in people's faces, like 2 inches away from them, and screams as loud as he can. I mean, man, that's assault. Police say LaBeouf, I like that, pulled the scarf of an unidentified 25-year-old man this morning, scratching his face in the process. Police say he also pushed the man who refused medical attention. According to local reports, the protester had said something to the camera LaBeouf did not agree with. The actor was taken to the 114th Precinct in Queens. The charges pending against him include third-degree assault, a Class A misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in jail or a fine of up to four. Yeah, he won't get anything. He was released from the precinct on his own recognizance, so he'll be out shouting and yelling and assaulting people again. That's amazing. That woman march in D.C. a few days ago, those people were crazy as loons as well. The odd thing is they don't see themselves as crazy. They're crazy, but they don't know they're crazy. And to me, that's the most dangerous kind of nut, is the one who thinks they're normal. But look at that guy, and man, you can just see what else is going on here. Weekly publication of crimes committed by illegals. Let's see what's up with that. Trump orders weekly publication of crimes committed by illegals in sanctuary cities. Yeah, the sanctuary cities are pushing back. They don't want to let go of their illegal aliens. In order to better inform Americans about the impact illegal aliens are having on crime rates in sanctuary cities, President Trump today ordered the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security to publish a weekly list of crimes committed by illegals. I have a feeling that's going to be a very long list. The same executive order directs that federal funds be withheld from cities and counties that don't cooperate with immigration officials. Wow. How much do they want their money? You know, I like reading the comments on these articles sometimes. The Village Viking says, "I love this president." Another one, "President Trump is keeping his word and for once is providing real transparency to the American people." You know, that's the thing. I'm 59 years old. I don't think I've ever seen a candidate for president who won the presidency actually do what he campaigned on. I mean, it's like we had Trump's playbook from day one. He said, this is what I'm going to do. And he's trying to do every single thing that he promised he would do. And that just blows me away. I don't know what to think about that. I mean, is he an honest man? Is he not an honest man? I mean, he's doing what he said he was going to do. And it's hard to find fault with that. Whether you like what he is doing is secondary. But, you know, he's one of those guys, you either love him or you hate him. I noticed what on Drudge it said, his approval rating is at 59%, which I think that's probably pretty good. It was 56, I think, yesterday, up to 59. You have to get to know this guy, I think. Let's give him a chance and, you know, see what he can do. All right. What else we got? Well, let's go over to Fox News, see what they got here. Oh, video shows leftist activist attacking conservative college students. I see a recurring theme here. These guys are having a meltdown, a mental emotional breakdown. A leftist college student physically assaulted and cursed at a conservative leader on Wednesday, grabbing for the man's phone multiple times in an attempt to prevent him from filming the exchange, according to a video of the encounter posted on social media. West Virginia University Left Alliance President Kelly Denham was identified as the attacker by a source who spoke to the College Fix. Denham is seen on the video being physically and verbally abusive to a member of the conservative Turning Point USA chapter at West Virginia University. You know, that just amazes me. It really does. Because when Obama was first elected, you know, over 8 years ago, I remember the left was crying out that we were going to start a civil war. We were going to take our guns and march on Washington, D.C., and just all this ridiculous tripe. But they were psychologically projecting onto us what they would have done if they'd lost. Because look what they're doing now. The right-leaning pro-gun people, we're not the violent ones. If we were the violent ones, they'd all be dead. Because we've got guns, we know how to use them, and they don't. So, you know, thank God that we are nonviolent. Isn't that ironic? The people who are armed to the teeth have a propensity for nonviolence. I mean, I think that's just wonderful. And I think it's wonderful that these lunatics, these leftist lunatics, are just going nuts. I enjoy watching them go crazy. But, I mean, it's sad that they're terrorizing people, but hey, it's who they are. It's what they do. What do we have on our show today? Well, you already know about Sheriff Dar Leaf. He's coming. In the fourth segment, when we're done with Dar, I think what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we are going to go over the history of the office of sheriff and how it's progressed through the centuries and how it serves our community, how it helps to make our families safe and our homes more secure. All right. We will be back in a few minutes with Sheriff Dar Leaf. It's been fun talking the news with you.
Welcome to the Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel. This is Skip's wife, Sarah. Stay tuned for more as we discuss new ways to protect ourselves and our families.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Hey, folks, this is Skip Coriel. Welcome back to the Home Defense Show. We are speaking on the line now with a very special guest. His name is Dar Leaf. He is the sheriff of Barry County in Michigan. Dar, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Dar, we're going to be talking about the Constitution. We're going to be talking about the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association of America and things of that nature. But before we get launched into that, let's go ahead and let's talk about all things that made Dar Leaf who you are today. Go ahead, give us your biography.
I was born and raised in Shiawassee County, Michigan. I lived in an old house that was over 100 years old that was part of the Underground Railroad for slaves. And the house was kind of cool. It had trap doors and stuff like that in it. And it's funny because if you were above the trapdoor, you couldn't see it, but once you got underneath and looked up, you could see it. Nonetheless, my dad worked at General Motors, and he was a UAW Democrat there, and he was a machine repairman. He was also in the United States Marine Corps, and taught me how to shoot. Yeah, there you go, right up your alley, isn't it? He taught me how to shoot, and taught me about guns and keeping them clean, and I hunted and fished a lot. I was out in the country there, so I had a lot of time to go on out and do things out in the woods. And it's kind of funny, I had the freedom to go do that, too.
Yeah. So basically, you popped out of your mama's womb and you had a pistol in one hand and a shotgun in the other.
And a fishing pole. Don't forget the fishing pole.
Okay, good. All right, so Dar, how did you end up getting into law enforcement then?
Oh, that's funny because when I got out of high school, I scored really high, like a high 90s, like 98%, 99% for the mechanical ability. And counselors were trying to push me into something like carpentry or something like that, but I wanted to do something that was outside because I love the outdoors. And so I went to work in a factory for a little while, and, you know, that was okay. I met a lot of really good people. And I just kind of took a shot in the dark and got into law enforcement because it looked like it was an outside job. I was always good at thinking on my feet. Some of you guys might call it a smart aleck, but hey, we can call it whatever. We call it quick thinking. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
So started going to Grand Rapids Junior College, and more and more I got into it, more and more I liked it.
Good. So, in retrospect, you're the sheriff now, but you spent quite a few years on as patrol officer. What did you like and what did you dislike about being out on road patrol?
That's a good question here. Really, I like going out and dealing with people. You were pretty much a problem solver out there most of the time. The public was very receptive of us, so I really liked that. The amount of paperwork that they dump on an officer, I don't like that. And you got to understand, there's going to be homework, so you have to accept that. But as the years went on, it got to be more and more of a drag. So, and as the years went on, too, you weren't allowed to make more decisions on your own. It was all kind of based on what lawsuit another agency had lost.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody had kind of shifted from, like if you caught somebody who is drinking and driving and they're close to home back in the early days, you could take them home and trust that a family member wasn't going to let them drive.
Oh, yeah.
That backfired on an officer somewhere in this country, and the person got back in a car and drove and killed somebody, and they went and charged that police officer criminally, too. So, you know, stuff like that was gone. But other than that, it's still one of the best jobs you can ever have.
Yeah, it's not like Mayberry RFD anymore. But political correctness, when did you see that starting to seep into law enforcement?
The Clinton years.
Oh, okay. The Clinton years. So back in the 1980s. Okay.
You start looking at the Clinton years, too. That's when I really started noticing the federal government poking their nose into our business. And like domestic assault. All of a sudden, the federal government, even though it's nowhere in the Constitution that they deal with domestic assault, all of a sudden they started coming out with laws about domestic assault. And that kind of makes me feel uncomfortable because I work for the people of Berry County, not for the federal government.
Right. Well, speaking of the Constitution and domestic assault, I know, you know, you and I, we teach concealed carry classes together, and I know you talk about the Lautenberg Amendment, Frank Lautenberg, senator from New Jersey. I think a lot of people, and certainly my listeners as well, they don't have a clear understanding of what domestic assault really is. You know, when people think of domestic assault, they think, okay, a husband beat the crap out of his wife. And certainly that is domestic assault, but doesn't it go beyond that as well?
It goes less than that. It goes to where if a woman is in what they call reasonable fear, the man doesn't have to be a man or woman, period. It could be your partner. All they have to be is in reasonable fear. You don't have to lay a finger on them to be charged and maybe even convicted of a domestic assault.
So it could just be a verbal altercation, you know, one spouse yells at the other, puts them in reasonable fear, and that is, by definition, domestic assault, provided they have the ability, the opportunity, and the intention of carrying through that threat. Is that correct?
Well, in order for us to make an arrest, we have to have the intent, the ability, and opportunity. We have to be able to show that. Intent is always the hardest because you can't read people's minds, but ability and opportunity, that's pretty easy. You know, if you got somebody who's 6'6" and 280 pounds and his wife's 5'5", 120 pounds, it'd be hard for us to show that she had the ability to really assault him versus him being able to assault her or the reasonable fear.
Yeah, and so you have a certain amount of leeway, but when you go on a domestic call, what is the protocol? When do you have to take someone away in handcuffs?
When we are confident in our minds that we've met those three things, the intent, ability, and opportunity.
I remember you telling a story once about domestic assault and two inmates in the jail. I think my listeners will get a kick out of that. Go ahead and tell that story for us, if you would.
Well, basically what it was is we had made a domestic assault arrest, and it was two former inmates, and they used to reside together in a jail, because that's one of the requirements is that you reside or have ever resided together. And one thought the other one had snitched on him, so he hunted him down and assaulted him after they got out of jail, and we charged him with domestic assault, and that stuck.
So that's domestic assault, and one of the things about results of domestic assault would be you lose your firearms rights, is that correct?
Most of the cases we deal with, I'd say almost all of them, alcohol is involved, and usually when they sober up, they're all, you know, lovey-dovey, and then courts have discretion on what's called a plea under advisement. In other words, if you're good for the next 6 months, don't break any laws, and don't assault your better half there again, then they'll more than likely drop it. There's a plea under advisement is what they call it here in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. But what are you telling me that people don't get smarter the more they drink?
No, not at all. Alcohol does not make you smarter. Bud does not make you wiser.
But it makes you better looking, though, right?
And stronger.
Yeah, that's right. You become a legend in your own mind.
Well, in your own bottle.
Yeah. I know you're real big on the Constitution. Talk a little bit about founding fathers and why they created the Bill of Rights and incorporated it into the Constitution?
The Constitution itself, I want everybody to understand, the Constitution doesn't grant you rights. It limits government. If you read the Bill of Rights, especially the first 8 out of the 10 amendments, it tells government no, 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 shall not, Congress shall make no law, and so on. And the Bill of Rights were put together because there's some of our founding fathers didn't think that we drove it home that government's supposed to leave people alone. And you got to understand, there's the people who wanted big government, and there's people who wanted the states to have control. And this was that middle ground that they met. You know, you got, I forgot the name of the chart, but it's, you look at anarchy on one end, then you look at monarchy on the other end, and we're a little bit closer to the anarchy side, but we're right in the middle there. If you get a chance, the John Birch Society has a really good video on that.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it explains it. You know, a fifth grader could understand what's going on there. But anyways, the founding fathers decided to write down some rights that they thought were untouchable by the government, and specifically the federal government. Their fear was the government was going to get too big. So they all got back together after the original signing of the original Constitution and did what they call the Bill of Rights, which are the first 10 amendments. And if you go through them again, like I said, it tells government no, no, no. Then we get up to the Ninth Amendment. The Ninth Amendment basically says that just because it's not listed as a right in the first 8 doesn't mean it's not your right. Like the right to get married, the right to go hunting, the right to have a tattoo, something like that. Those are all natural rights that you have that government should not be getting involved in. The Tenth Amendment basically says that if it's not listed in the Constitution, then it's reserved for the states and to the people.
Doesn't that mean, Dar, then probably there's a... Most of everything is covered by states' rights, then, isn't it?
That's correct. Justice Scalia.
People don't know that.
Justice Scalia, in this case called the Prinz/Mack versus the United States, back in I think it was 1994 to 1996. Justice Scalia laid out a beautiful explanation of how that's supposed to work. It's both the states and the federal government are supposed to be working together to protect our rights. Now, the federal government's supposed to make sure that the states aren't becoming these overbearing dictators and vice versa. The states are supposed to be keeping the federal government under control also.
So it's a responsibility of the individual states to hold the federal government accountable for their own freedom.
I would call it a duty.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Well, hey, Dar, we are just about out of time in this segment. But this is interesting stuff, and certainly stuff that every family, every home in America should know about. So if you don't know your civil rights, your God-given rights, you certainly can't hold the government accountable for, you know, giving you those rights. So I know that you've just been given an award by the Constable Sheriffs and Police Officers Association of America, and we want to talk about that when we get back. But just to recap, you know, we've talked about the Bill of Rights, the Founding Fathers. We talked about the necessity of the states to hold the federal government accountable. And what we're going to do next is we're going to go deeper into that, as well as talk about your award and the Office of Sheriff and everything that that entails. So we're here with Sheriff Dar Leaf from Berry County, Michigan. And we will be right back, so stay tuned.
My name is Deidre Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
All right, folks, this is Skip Coriel, your host of the Home Defense Show. We have been speaking with Sheriff Darleaf from Berry County, Michigan. He is a good friend of mine for several decades now. In my opinion, he is one of the most pro-constitutional sheriffs in the country. We've talked about some good things. Now we are going to talk about the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association of America. Dar, did I say that right? Is that the correct title?
Yeah, CSPOA, that's correct.
Dar, tell us exactly what is this organization? Who are these people?
Well, it was started by Sheriff Richard Mack, and Sheriff Mack was one of the seven sheriffs that sued the Clinton administration over the Brady Bill. He was the one that actually led the charge.
And he lived to tell about it.
Yes, that's his famous slogan. He says, I took on the Clinton administration one, and I lived to tell about it. But anyways, he was appalled that there's 3,087 sheriffs around that ballpark anyways in this country, and there's only seven of them that had the courage to stand up and say, no, we don't work for you. We work for the people in our areas that our electorates that voted us into office. He started a lawsuit against the Clinton administration over this Brady Bill, and the Brady Bill was trying to commandeer the office of a sheriff. I hope I'm saying this correctly, but they wanted us to do these backgrounds before people can do or buy guns. That included like a mental check. So anyways, he started this Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officers Association as an education tool to start educating police officers that, hey, just because somebody claims that there's a federal law on this or a state law, and but it doesn't fall within the guidelines of this Constitution, doesn't mean you have to enforce it. Another person who was involved at the beginning was Stuart Rhodes, who started the Oath Keepers. And Stuart Rhodes, too, started Oath Keepers after Hurricane Katrina when they were going door-to-door confiscating people's guns. He's the one that filed a lawsuit against the state of Louisiana to stop it, and he went right to the Supreme Court on it. He couldn't believe that there was officers that would just blindly follow orders like that without knowing the truth or the facts.
Okay, so CSPOA, that was formed by Sheriff Richard Mack. The office of sheriff itself, is that constitutionally mandated, or does the governor give you the power? Where does the sheriff get their power?
To read your Declaration of Independence, where does the government get its power? It gets it from its
people.
This is a brilliant setup that our founders did, that way there's no one dictator, or that it's not an oligarchy. It's like the President of the United States has a job description. That's what the Constitution does. That's his job description. Mm-hmm. I'm a sheriff of a county. I have a job description at the state level. And I'm also a constitutional sheriff because Michigan, it's in Michigan's Constitution that we have an office of the sheriff.
Wow. So you work for the people of Berry County then?
I'm a state office because I'm in the Constitution, but I represent Berry County for the executive branch there.
I don't think the Obama administration would have agreed with that. In their mind, you answer to him, and the people answer to him as well. So I'm real happy that he's gone now, and I think a few other people are as well.
I never sat down and asked the president what his opinion is, and there's a lot of organizations out there that are trying to get rid of the office of the sheriff. And if you're one of those people in those states, and that's even a topic of conversation, you need to get in there and stop it. Because once you do, you people lose power. If somebody's mad at one of my deputies in my county, you can come on into my office and scream and holler and all that stuff. But if you're at the state level, good luck getting close to your governor.
Oh, yeah.
At the federal level, good luck getting in to talk to the president. For one, neither one of them are going to have time for you.
Well, yeah, that's a really good point, because with local control, there's a lot more built-in accountability, because, you know, if you do something that's outrageous, you're going to hear about it, even if people don't come into your office and rant about it. I mean, you've got to see these people at Walmart or the gas station when you're filling up your tank, you're very visible and you're very accountable to the average person.
I've always said the bigger government gets, the further away it gets from its people.
Yeah, I've often thought that it would be a good idea for U.S. senators and U.S. congressmen not to go to Washington, D.C., because it seems like there's something in the water. You know, we send good people there, and then they get polluted, and they end up totally different people than who we sent. I don't know if it's the lobbyists or something in the air or the water, but yeah.
They get wealthier, too.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about the award that you were given.
Well, what it says is there's the logo for the Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officers Association, and it just says 2016 Sheriff of the Year Award presented to Sheriff Darleaf, January 21st, 2017, for his unwavering courage and standing for American liberty and the United States Constitution.
That's awesome. How many sheriffs are there in the country, approximately?
Right around 3,087.
Wow.
And any one of them could have got this award. There's some question about how many members there were at the CSPOA. They've never really done a good hard membership drive or anything like that. I remember one conference I went to, there had to have been 60 or 70 sheriffs that attended. It was pretty packed in there.
Well, congratulations on your award. I think that's fantastic. That speaks well of you. Now, CSPOA and Oath Keepers, you mentioned Oath Keepers as well. You know, I know in years past, far left has cast aspersions on both of those groups, saying that you're trying to overthrow the government or you're part of the militia or things of that nature. Is there anything to that people need to be concerned about that? What's the straight deal on that?
Yeah, especially the Southern Poverty Law Center. And SPLC, they are very left-leaning. There's another organization out there. It's called Right Wing Watch or something like that. And a lot of misquoting going on. And every conference that I've gone to, and I haven't gone to a lot, but everyone I've gone to, they don't promote militias. They don't promote war. They promote education. Now, we're going to take this country back. We don't want it to get bloody if we can educate the public first and take it back that way. That's why I was pleased to see Donald Trump get in there. Maybe we can start doing this pushback on some of this overreaching of the federal government.
I've read articles about how, like down in Ferguson and other places where they've had racial tension, and the Obama administration, you know, went in and did an investigation and mandated that they sign this agreement, giving over certain control to the federal government in order to get federal aid. Do you see that happening with the Trump administration as well, or do you see that as a good thing or as a bad thing?
No. Anytime you sign away your authority, you're signing away the public's authority. So if you're in an elected office, especially an elected office, you don't ever sign away any of your authority. I don't know what the reasoning was before for them to go in and look at these police officers' emails and all that stuff. I don't know if it's a search warrant.
What's your opinion on, say, national reciprocity? I interviewed Larry Pett just a couple of weeks ago from Gun Owners of America, and he expects a national reciprocity bill to be signed sometime by March. What's your opinion on national reciprocity?
It'd be nice to carry in all these states if you're legally licensed to carry in your own state. I'm struggling with that because of states' rights. For the federal government to go out there and say, well, you got to let this state come on in there and carry concealed, I'm kind of struggling with that. Is that a state issue, or does the federal government really have the authority to do that?
I think the way Larry put it, he said, really, all it is, it's the same thing as honoring each state's driver's licenses. We already do that, and that's not a civil right, it's not a human right, so why would we not do it with this one? I've heard the argument that, well, you know, if the federal government gives that right to you, they can take it away, but Larry Pratt is saying, no, they're not giving you any right, they're just honoring a human right that you already have, which kind of makes sense to me.
At what point are we going to start holding these places that disarm you and you get injured or you got a family member that gets killed? At what point are we going to start holding them accountable for not protecting you? Because once they take away your authority to protect yourself, that leaves it to them. There, that kind of leads into, are they going to start making us run through scanners like we're going into the jails and, of course, now all the new courthouses and stuff?
You're talking to someone who just, I just got back from Las Vegas, and, boy, I just love going through the TSA security checkpoint. I hate it. I hate being treated like a criminal. I mean, I understand why they do it, but all these jihadists, these terrorists, they're responsible for taking away a lot of our freedom just by sheer terror. I mean, look at the way, how our way of life has changed in the last 16 years. It's just incredible. So don't get me going on the TSA and checkpoints and all of that stuff. But final issue before we have to sign off. Talk about gun registration, because I know Michigan has gun registration, and I don't think a lot of other states have that, but how do you feel about gun registration?
Horribly about it. Michigan has a pistol registration, and if you look at the roots of it, it has racist roots to it. The Dr. Ozzie and Sweet come up here from Alabama, and Dr. Sweet just happened to be a black man who was educated. And back in the early or late 1920s, the KKK still had a lot of political power throughout the country. Well, he came out up to Detroit to go see some black patients up here because white doctors weren't seeing black patients. So lo and behold, you have the angry white crowd going in there and throwing rocks through his windows of his house. And he and his brother went and barricaded themselves in their home, and they ended up shooting two of the white people and killing them. So you had a white prosecutor who charged the evil black man with murder. And I say evil tongue-in-cheek because it sounds to be pretty basic self-defense. Well, of course, he takes it to a jury trial, and the jury finds him not guilty. And that's when they started the gun boards, and right around then when they started registering the handguns, the purpose to keep them out of black people's hands. So, no, I do not support the handgun registration. I think it's ridiculous. I've been in law enforcement since the mid to late 80s, and I don't ever remember solving a crime because a gun was registered.
Is there any hope in the short term of getting rid of that pistol registration from what you can see in the political arena?
There is hope. There's always hope. Anytime you mention it, it's kind of like Linus with his blanket. You know, you try and take Linus's blanket away. Everybody has a false sense of security with it. Reality is that we're one of very few states, I think like four or five states, that actually register any firearms. And what we have in common is we're right up there with the crime rate. So if it was done to control crime, it's not a factor.
Well, hey, Dar, this has been incredible. Good conversation, good insight. Folks, we've been speaking with Sheriff Dar Lee, the 2016 Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association of America Sheriff of the Year. So, Dar, once more, thank you very much for your service and certainly your constitutional views. It's so refreshing and hope-giving when we see law enforcement who says, hey, I work for you guys, you don't work for me. So, Dar, thank you very much for coming on Home Defense Show. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for the invitation. I'm a servant to the people of Berry County.
All right, fantastic. All right, folks, we will be back just in a few minutes. We are going to have to wrap up, and I'll give you my opinion on all things great and small.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're going to love it.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. It was great talking to Sheriff Darleaf. He talked about a lot of things, made a lot of statements, and I am not one to just take things at face value just because an authority figure told it to me. So we are going to, together, we are going to go back through history, and we are going to figure out, Darleaf just talking smack, or does he really know what he was talking about? And I'm going to a website called CamdenCounty.com, and they have a reprint called A Past, Present, and Future for the Office of the Sheriff, and it's based on the National Sheriff's Association booklet, The Role of the Sheriff, Past, Present, and Future. It says the office of the sheriff has existed for over 1,000 years and is the oldest law enforcement position in the United States. The word sheriff is derived from the shire reeve, who was the most powerful English law authority figure even before 1000 AD. The shire reeve, in contrast to a reeve in charge of mere tents, was responsible for both the order of the land within his banded group of 100 families, shire, and the call of the hue and cry. The hue and cry made every citizen in earshot of the sheriff's call lawfully obligated to join in a posse comitatus or group which banded to catch criminals. Awesome. The exact date of the very first sheriff undertaking his sworn duties to protect the lives and property of those under his jurisdiction cannot be determined due to ambiguous historical findings from all over the world. Let's just skip through this. Many historians believe that the ancient Roman proconsul was perhaps the first sheriff-like authority. Other historians believe that a prototype sheriff appeared first in Saxon Germany. Still more have discovered that there was an Arab chief or prince who was the descendant of Muhammad through his daughter Fatima and was known as the Sharif. This goes back even further. In 600 BC, the Chaldean king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, was noted in the book of Daniel as being in the company of the sheriff during the setting up of the golden image. Wow. This demonstrates that the early recordings of the Holy Bible provide a 2,600-year-old reference of an existing sheriff. Man. So I always thought it went back to common law, but apparently it went back to Roman times, and then it even went back to Chaldean time, Babylonian times, ancient Babylonia. Wow. The thing to note, though, is that in the past, distant past, the sheriff answered to whoever the monarch was. In England, he answered to the king. In Babylon, he answered to the king. In ancient Rome, he answered to the emperor. So it was always an arm and a tool of the government, and that changed in America, I believe. Okay. Here in America. Unlike the latter English sheriffs, who put great expense out of their pockets to perform the duty of sheriff, the American sheriff was very profitable. This was attributed to the lack of pomp and ceremony that existed in England and the need there to entertain. All men sought this highly prestigious position in the colonies. Maryland, coincidentally, became a close second in establishing the office of sheriff in the United States. As the western frontier was explored, the sheriff's office also moved into establishment out west. Settlers became the targets and prey of Indians, thieves, and bandits. Everyone needed to protect their gold and oil. The sheriffs of the west became very busy in a hostile environment, becoming subdivided into two categories, the quick and the dead. The sheriff politically speaking. The sheriff offers the people under his county jurisdiction the most effective liaison to law enforcement. When citizens have a complaint concerning some problem in their county, the sheriff is ultimately their best remedy. Although modern times have placed more glamorous attention on local and state police, they create a myriad of problems in reality. The sheriff can respond faster to any citizen's complaint than any police department. This is one of the many forgotten powers of the sheriff in the minds of the citizenry. His fast and efficient abilities for handling such concerns are derived from his constitutional foundation. Okay, so Dar told us that his power comes from the constitution of his state. So he doesn't answer to the governor. He doesn't answer to the legislator. He doesn't answer to the president of the United States. As an elected law enforcement representative, he has great political power on the direction, time spent, and discretion of any request from a constituent. This is in stark contrast to the bureaucratic red tape of the modern contracted police authority. Yeah, the state police, they do not answer to me. Ah, the legal power of the sheriff. The modern sheriff's provinces and scope of authority can be determined by studying the modern-day legislation. The sheriff has the right and duty to enforce any of this legislation as it concerns securing the peace, order, safety, and comfort of the community under his jurisdiction. In enforcing such legislation, the sheriff satisfies his constitutional obligations in enforcing the democracy's laws, protecting the lives and property of its people, and safeguarding the health and morals of the community. They have the power of arrest, with or without a warrant. Any felony committed not in their presence could also be reasonable grounds for an arrest under the ancient common law, matching the exact measure for an arrest by any police officer today with one modern day addition. In conclusion, modern sheriff duties are performed by order of the people instead of by order of the king or queen. Now that is important. That's a huge difference. The closest thing we have to a king or queen would be either the governor or the president. So the sheriff, in fact, according to the Constitution, does not answer to the king or queen or to the president. He answers to the people who elected him. I like that. I like that a lot. Wow. Now, scanning through this, there have been many attempts at trying to get rid of the office of sheriff or to water it down. And I think I understand why. It's the oldest law enforcement position. It's mandated by the Constitution. And he or she does not answer to the powers that be. And I imagine they don't like that. And that's why they're trying to get rid of it. Even today, I've heard, especially over in on the East Coast, have been attempts to get rid of the county sheriff, abolish it in New England states. Thank God that the office of sheriff is still there. Because if I want to go down and chew up my sheriff, I can do that. If I got a complaint, if I need help, I can do that. Like Dar said, I can't go to the governor. I can't go to the president. I wouldn't even get a foot in the door. I'd be arrested if I tried to come in uninvited. This is awesome. Okay, folks, so what's the takeaway on this? What are we supposed to get out of this? I think for me, it's helped to renew the idea that the office of sheriff, the elected office of sheriff, is very important. It gives local control, local accountability to law enforcement. I noticed in Wikipedia that the office of sheriff was abolished in the state of Connecticut back in 2000. Washington, D.C. does not have the office of sheriff. And what do those two places have in common? Well, they're very liberal. They don't have a whole lot of freedom there. And I think that might have something to do with it. For me, I think I want to keep the office of sheriff. I know I do. And I want it to be a powerful position, not answering to hire politicians, but answering to the people of that county. All right. Well, you can send me your questions, your comments about that at skipcoriel.com. That's skipcoriel.com. On Facebook, I'm on Facebook every day. I've got two Skip Coriel accounts. I've got Midwest Tactical Training account. Get a hold of me there. What are we going to be doing next week? Well, I think I have this huge stack of business cards that I picked up from the SHOT Show with all these people that I talked to. I talked to people about home alarm systems. I talked about manufacturers of gun safes. I talked to a company who makes firearm diagnostics and training accessories. All different kinds of people I talked to. I will get a hold of one of them. Another thing that I want to do is speak with Mark Walters from Armed American Radio again. In the very first episode, this is episode 11, but in the very first episode of the Home Defense Show, if you go back and listen to it, you'll see that Mark Walters predicted the outcome of the presidential election. And we had a long talk about that over the SHOT Show. But I'd like to get him on the air, and he can give you his take on why he made that prediction. And obviously we should listen to it because he was right. So we got that in the on the agenda as well. And there are other topics that I'd like to discuss as well related to home defense. I'd also like to talk about things like preparing for social unrest, preparing for maybe natural disasters. What should you have on hand? What should you have in your home? What is the best security for you to have in the case of societal collapse? What are you going to need to stave off that golden horde? If you don't know what that is, read The God Virus and The Shadow Militia, and you'll figure that out. I want to encourage all of you to get politically involved. I know politics is kind of like a dirty word to good people everywhere. I hate politics myself. It's just such a dirty business. After I listen to the news, it's just so dirty and terrible that I want to go out and I want to take a hot shower with Bon Ami soap and get the political filth off of me. But when good people don't get involved in politics, someone once told me that Satan is a usurper of all things left unattended. That means he takes over. And if we let politics alone so to the bad guys, well, then the bad guys are going to be in charge. And we have been experiencing that for the last 8 years. Good people everywhere all across America have pretty much disengaged. Well, this past fall, we reengaged. If you want the ability to keep your family safe, to keep your home safe, to keep the government out of your home and out of your family, then good people with morals, with good Christian values, have to be in charge of the government. If that doesn't happen, we can see what happens when good people don't get involved. People like Barack Obama get elected as our president, and they expand government, and they invade our homes, they invade our schools. They're like locusts. Liberals are like locusts. They eat everything in their path, and the only thing that can stop them is good people who stand up and say, no, enough is enough. We're kind of like the decon of the political world. If you don't know what decon is, look it up. We get rid of the locusts. We get rid of the rats, the vermin of our society. And that's what liberals are. Okay, folks, next week we'll be back. We'll be talking more things home and personal defense, family defense. In the meantime, get down on your knees and thank God for the breath of life. Thank God for your family and health and all things good and natural. God bless you. God bless America.